on hold.
You're the vice chair.
All right, yeah. Everyone.
He owns the place.
I'm going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Tuesday, February 7th, 2017. I'm going to open an organizational meeting for the purpose of adopting committee rules and introductions of committee members.
Madam Chair. In the absence of our other vice chair, I move the adoption of the committee rules.
Representative Rayfield moves the adoption of the committee rules. Is there any discussion? Any objection? All right, we adopted our committee rules. So I'm going to have members and then our administrative staff introduce themselves. So we'll start with Representative Rob Nose.
I'm Representative Rob Nose. I represent House District 42, which is sometimes pejoratively referred to as the Portlandia District. It is Southeast Portland and a little sliver of Northeast. This is my second stint on the Rules Committee. It was my honor and privilege to serve here in my first term.
Greg Barreto, State Rep, House District 58, Wallowa County, Union County, and part of Umatilla County. And this is my first stint on rules.
Representative Paul Holby, House District 8, South Eugene, South Central, Lane County, Notai, Walton, Lorraine, Fern Ridge area. And nice to be back on the Rules Committee. I served on it in 2005, 2007, 2009, 2011, 2013.
Brag.
Just in time for committee introductions, Representative Mike McLean enters the room. It's your turn, buddy.
Drum roll.
I know, really.
Thank you very much.
What are we doing?
You're introducing yourself.
Hi, I'm Mike McLean, and I'm from Powell Butte, Oregon, which is Central Oregon, and I represent District 55, which extends from Prineville to Lakeview to Klamath Falls to Medford, never including those towns, but everything to the north, and then around Crater Lake and up to Lapine. So it's a big district full of God-fearing Americans who play eight-man football in their little towns, and I am very proud to represent eight-man football players in the legislature because I played eight-man football, and as we all know, and Rob knows, certainly knows, it's a superior athletic game. And
thanks for including me. You're going to lose.
Thus, it has prepared me for the legislature, Mr. Holby. But I'm glad to be here on Ways and Means, and
excellent.
No, what do you mind? Is this rules?
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here in rules. And
sit next to each other in both.
And I'm really disappointed that Representative Smith Warner's not here. I think promptness is a virtue, and we need to talk to her.
I will take that under advisement. Thank you. Jennifer Williamson, I represent House District 36, downtown Northwest Southwest Portland, stretching from Good Sam Hospital in Northwest Portland all the way to Wilson High School in Southwest Portland. So I am the majority leader, and I am excited to be chairing this committee.
So, Dan Rayfield, State Representative from Corvallis, Philomath. I think you heard Paul Holby mention all the years he's served on this committee. It wasn't 15 and 16 because I asked the Speaker to kick him off so that I could be assigned in the 15 and 16 session. She granted that wish. Nothing disrespectful to Paul at all, except I. However, here it is. Glad to be back for a second stint. Hashtag eight-man football.
Bill Kennemer, State Rep from District 39, represent goodly portions of South Clackamas County, hail from Camden, Oregon City area.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, my name is Barbara Smith Warner, and I'm so glad that Leader McCabe and I were able to just run in from our earlier.
It's McLean. Thanks. Yeah.
Oh, McLean. Did I just call you McCabe?
Yes, you did.
You know where that came from.
Because your cousin is county chair, which
is my brother-in-law.
Mike McCabe.
Yes, my brother.
Much better man than I.
Very confusing.
All those mix. Barbara Smith Warner. I represent House District 45 in Northeast Portland, Maywood Park, and Park Rose, related by district. to Leader McLean over there. Yes. I have to look at his thing now every time that I say his name. And this is my, third? No, I think that I might have been on rules right away when I got appointed. I was, right? Yeah, so I have been on the Rules Committee since the day I walked in this building. And I'm thrilled to be here once again on the Magic Committee.
I don't even know what to do with all this. Representative Jody Hag, and I represent House District 19, which is parts of South Salem, Almsville, and Turner. And I'm just like trying to sit here and think of something really good to come back with. And the only thing I can say is, you know, I coached 6 girl volleyball and played 6 girl volleyball. Hashtag 6 girl volleyball. That's all I got.
I think that's quite appropriate. I would like to say, Madam Chair, that the previous chair of our committee used to separate Rob Nose and I. And I think it's unfair that him and I don't get to sit together, but apparently at the request of lobbyist constituents in the executive branch, we are not sitting by each other.
Wasn't my choice.
I know. We
the
actually...
record reflect that I did not put in that request. So
I'm happy to change.
Rob and I like to visit during hearings, and apparently it's a distraction.
All right, Erin.
I'm Erin Seiler. I have to look at my own name tag, LPRO analyst, formerly committee services. I'm practicing saying our new name. And Sam Koopman, we are your administrative staff for rules.
Thank you. Well, I look forward to a good, solid rules committee. Thank you all for serving. Thank you, Sam and Erin, for helping us do this work. With that, I'm going to open a work session for the introduction of committee measures. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think these are wonderful LC numbers. I'm not sure what they say, but I know that the LC numbers are appropriately aligned, all 4 digits. Oh, there it is. Madam Chair, I move the following LCs be introduced as committee measures: LC 1046, 1096, 1797, 2099, 2726, 2799, and 2872, with the caveat that, of course, simple introduction of bills is not to be interpreted as support or advocacy.
My line. Thank you. Vice Chair McLean moves following LCs be introduced as committee measures: LC 1046. 1096, 1797, 2099, 2726, 2799, 2872. Is there any discussion? Representative McLean already gave the disclaimer. Supporting these LCs does not mean that you support the underlying measure.
Oh, no, this is just out of order.
That's fine. All right. Seeing no discussion, any objection? If not, LCs are introduced. All right, with that, we are going to move on to an informational hearing. I'm going to open an informational hearing and invite up our Secretary of State, Dennis Richardson.
May I have my government and legislative affairs, legal affairs director, Steve Alzinga, join me?
Come on down, Steve. Welcome. Thank you for coming to visit with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Madam Chair.
Floor is yours.
Madam Chair, members of the distinguished and honorable Rules Committee for the House of Oregon, this is the first time I've had the opportunity to address a committee in this new position as Secretary of State. I'm a little bit nervous, having never done this before, but we will get through this. I've now been on the job for a month, and it has been most interesting. As you all know, having run for office, your first time and get elected, and then you show up, it's like, now what? And so I had been in the Secretary of State's office a few times before being elected, having been sworn in and assumed my position. I realized that I have been placed by the voters as essentially the CEO of a conglomerate with 4 separate corporations that really don't have a lot of crossover. You've got archives, the Elections Division, Corporations Division, and the audits division, and then also a position on the land board. And so it's been very busy and interesting month getting to know the responsibilities. With your permission, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what we're doing in each of these areas and just give you some background. The archives division is one that's being run by Mary Beth Heckert, who's very well respected, and she and our office are working on something called the Constitution Project, and you'll hear more about this. We are raising private funds to help restore the Constitution, which was passed in 1857. It's deteriorating quite quickly, and we want it to be restored to the finest condition that it can be, and then also have a compartment that where it can be displayed on a regular basis that's bulletproof, hermetically sealed, and climate controlled, possibly even having one of those cases in this building as well as in the archives so that we could have other documents be shown to the citizens and the children that come to visit. And we're actually going to have on next Monday at lunchtime, we'll be extending an invitation to each of you and all of the legislators to come and have a lunch and see the Constitution. It'll be here in this building, and also learn about a process called TRIM. And TRIM is a program that's being proposed and expanded by the Archives Division to allow your information to immediately be saved so that when there's requests for production, that can be done by the Archives Division without involving you or your staff and having delays and expenses that could be avoided. So you'll be hearing more about TRIM. The Audits Division is one that we're spending a tremendous amount of time on because the goal is for us to make it into a GAO for the state of Oregon, a government accountability office where we are able to perform performance audits, fiscal audits, and IT and security audits in a way that without fear or favor, dealing with the facts and showing the people and the people's representatives what's really going on, which we feel will be helpful to you in your oversight responsibilities. I mean, in the past, lots of things that were being done by the Audits Division were not dealing with those things that are of greatest interest to the people. You can think about major projects that have failed recently and that have cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And the attitude by a recently retired head of audits was, if the legislature knows about it because it's being publicized, then we don't need to spend any time on it, so we'll just go and spend our time elsewhere. But having been in your position with the lack of resources to do in-depth audits and research, I feel that Secretary of State's Audits Division should be a resource to help you with your oversight division. And so we'll be working with this committee and with the Audits Committee and with the Ways and Means subcommittees, especially providing information on what the audits have determined, what recommendations have been made, which hopefully will help when agencies and programs are coming forward asking for more money, that you can find out why or how far they've come in endorsing and implementing the recommendations that have been made in recent audits. So we hope that will help you. We have in the Corporations Division, and many of you are worked closely with Ruth Miles, who's the head of the Small Business Advocacy Group. Tomorrow, we will be distributing a report on all the things that have been done, all the businesses that have been affected, and give you an idea of just how successful this program has been over the past year, and also to let you know what is being done to help implement recent legislation to expand the mission from helping businesses that are dealing with the state to be helping businesses that are having issues with state and local government. Now, when I learned a month ago that this was happening, I said, we do not want to widely publicize this until you're ready to handle the increased responses. Last thing we want is for us to go around the state saying, you know what, if you're having problems with local government, call this number and you can get helped, and then have people waiting on hold for 45 minutes. or not, or just going to voice messages because the response overwhelms the staffing. And so we're right now looking for a third member of her team, someone who's experienced in business and understands how to get things done so that she will have additional capacity to help the businesses that call in. And we're cross-training members of the corporations division that do telephones so that when people call and Ruth and her team are busy, that the calls will go to another individual who will answer, take the information, and then let them know when they'll be called back by a member of the small business advocacy team. So anyway, it's a great opportunity to help make a difference and show people that the government is there to help them. I really see the Secretary of State's office as a resource to help restore accountability, transparency, and trust in government. And we can do that by assisting people with working their way through the maze of government when they want to do business. The elections division is all about ensuring that all who are eligible to vote have the opportunity to vote, and it should be functioning in a nonpartisan, neutral way, where we aggressively seek to help people understand what's available and to make sure they understand the balloting process and what's needed for them to have initiatives and to be candidates. I'm pleased to admit and report that the first public appearance I made as Secretary of State was in Portland at a naturalization ceremony where 35 new citizens were being sworn in and became Americans, and had the opportunity to talk to them about what it means to be an American and how important it is for them to be involved with the process and to use the power that they have as a voting member of our country. So that's just kind of an overview of the audits, elections, corporations, and the archives. I'm also on the land board, and usually that's not a very widely publicized opportunity to serve. Usually it's like there's some kind of an easement that's being sought across state lands or something, but in current circumstance with the proposed sale of the Elliott Forest, it is a hugely important and very passionately followed issue, and we're going to have our next meeting on the 14th where this issue will be revisited and determine what the future is for the forest. So those are the things that we're doing. We have a few items of legislation that you might want to know something about. There's a number of things that have been brought up. The ones I'll mention to you are the ones that I think that are of most interest. One is, and I'm not sure what the future will be of this, but I think that Secretary of State's office should be a nonpartisan office. I don't believe that electing it based on a party affiliation leads or gives the right message if you're going to be over the elections, especially. And so we're proposing that it, like the Labor Commission, also be a nonpartisan office. We have one that's it deals with objectivity and integrity for elections, and this is one that you may have heard about, where I'm asking to have less power than we have presently, which normally you don't do when you're getting power. You usually want more. But presently, when there's investigations that are being done, they're being based on any information that you might get in this office. Well, that means it's pretty subjective, and so I believe that it should be started by actual complaints. There's, for instance, my experience as a lawyer is that if there's a complaint against a lawyer, the complaint is in writing, somebody signs it, they turn it in, it gets submitted to the lawyer that's being accused, and they get a chance to respond, and then there's an investigation done to determine what's supposed to happen. In some of our government licensing bureaus, there are complaints made, and the physician doesn't even know who's making the complaint, or the nurse, and they don't know the full substance. All they know is they're being investigated, and it's hard to respond when you don't even know what the basis is for the complaint. And then they're also told that if you resist anything that that is placed upon you by those that are in charge, you know, the agency, then you may have to be paying for not only your own legal representation and experts, but also pay for the experts and that are brought in by the agency. And so it could cost you $20,000 or $30,000 if you are an optometrist and you think that you are wrongfully being accused. I want to ensure that in this office we don't have that kind of situation where a Secretary of State can choose who they're going after and who they don't, because it could be used in a partisan way. And I want to propose this legislation so that we are instructed that we are to only respond when there's a complaint that's actually filed. And so that's the basis of the bill. I don't know where it's going to go, but I just wanted it to be discussed that I think it's a little inappropriate for a Secretary of State to be picking and choosing where they're going to investigate and where they're not. For one thing, if it's based on what's in the newspapers, that means that those that are in the Salem market are likely to be investigated more than someone that's in Astoria or Lakeview, because we don't have the capacity and the time and the manpower to read all the newspapers or tune into all the sources of news across the state. And so if we're expected to just be kind of acting on the things that we hear about, then I think that that's unfair to the entire state. We have a bill that we refer to as the Accessibility and Transparency for State Rules. We're switching to an all-electronic administrative rules system so that anybody can go online and type in, you know, a word search and come up with all of the administrative rules based in the, you know, that are in the database. Yet the present law is that these things all need to be printed, and we'd like to save for us and lessen printing when it's unnecessary to do that. And so this bill would merely remove the requirement that we print all of the rules that get put implemented when we have shifted essentially to a internet-based searching system for the citizens across the state. The last one is elected officials' accountability. Essentially, there's 50 states, 49 of them allow the people, if they become disenchanted for whatever reason with their elected statewide officials, that they can begin a process for impeachment. Oregon's the only state that does not have that ability to allow the people to have a say in if they want to remove an elected official. We think that they should have that. It's about expanding the rights and power of the voters. And so we don't have any dying interest on any of these bills other than these are the ones that we're proposing, having been in this position for a month, and by golly, we're sticking with it. So with that, I'm open to any questions you might have about any aspect of what we're doing, anything we might do to help you.
Secretary, questions? Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Welcome. Congratulations. It's nice to have you here. I had the pleasure of hearing an audit report in the Revenue Committee earlier with your fine staffer here, so thank you for that.
Hope you did all right.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful job. Wonderful job. good job. Thanks for that overview. I'm very excited about the Small Business Advocate news. I have, as I think most of my colleagues have, met with her early and was just really impressed by her enthusiasm, and I'm very excited about that. You mentioned about in the Elections Division and voter participation and plans to increase. And, you know, as we all know, we have a great rate of participation with the expanded motor voter that we passed in 2015. And I myself have introduced now again a bill to drop the age at which you can pre-register to 16, because I figure I did it before, didn't really go very far last time, but I would argue now that we have, now with the motor voter, since you're having kids come in at 16, right now you can pre-register at 17 and it takes effect at 18. And I have a bill that'll drop that to 16. So I just wanted to throw that out. And just also get your sense of what your plans are for expanding participation beyond, you know, where we've gotten to so far.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Smith-Warner. As far as lowering it to 16, whatever we're told to do, we will do. You know, I don't have any personal feeling about that either way. As far as what we can do to expand the eligibility or to expand the utilization of the right to vote, we have on our staff, I want to make sure I get to, I wrote it down to make sure I had name right. Anyway, it's we have Larry Morgan, who is the citizens outreach
Citizen engagement and inclusion
coordinator. Citizen engagement and inclusion coordinator. I promised I would know that because so what we're doing there is Larry is meeting with members across the state of minority groups, of those that may feel like their voices aren't being heard this Thursday night, and we'd invite you all to attend if you'd like. The Urban League and our office is putting on a meeting dealing with Black History Month, and it's in North Portland, and the goal is to help get people who normally aren't integrating with each other. You know, I mean, I come from Southern Oregon, right? I'm from Central Point. There's very few minorities there. I don't have a lot of contact, and yet I'm responsible to help ensure that their rights and their voices are heard. And so I took yesterday, I'll admit, a two-hour session in cultural competency because I realize I don't understand what it's like to be worried when your kids go out after dark that they may be viewed as a threat and not come back. I don't live with those kinds of fears, and there's so many. And so I want to understand better, and I want to see that every opportunity is provided for them to participate in our state. I mean, we're looking seriously at a pilot program to translate ballots into other languages so that people who they're going to use a regular ballot and they speak English, but they may be more comfortable in their native language. And so why not be able to read about the ballot, what's on the ballot, and read it in a language that you're more familiar with, and then be able to mark your ballot more intelligently. So we're looking for ways to reach out. It involves the Corporations Division as well as elections because of the need for people to be able to start their businesses. We're concerned about people that have got a record and can't get a job. I mean, for a year after I lost, back to that, when I lost an election, so by he whose name we will not mention, and my wife and I worked as volunteers in an employment office, helping people get jobs one at a time, and we realized just how hard it is if you don't know where to turn, that people need a mentor and an opportunity. And so I want to do all that I can to help ensure that using the resources of the Corporations Division and Elections Division, that those that may not have had a chance at as good an education as others have, or just don't understand the system, what's available, that we will help them understand and be reached out to.
Vice Chair Rayfield.
So I think I wasn't here when you served. My first committee was actually here in the Rules Committee, and the first thing that we voted on was motor voter, which is probably one of the biggest things, you know, during this last election, at least from, yeah, I had a personal interest sitting on this the committee. So kind of like in reflecting back now that we have, you know, some data on that, just kind of your thoughts on motor voter, and then kind of any changes or thoughts going forward on that?
Certainly, Madam Chair and Representative Rayfield, the motor voter system has worked out pretty well. We found a couple of problems that need to be resolved. One is that if you're getting close to an election, when you get your license, you may think that you're registered to vote, but if it takes 30 days for the process to take place and you're 23 days out, you're not going to get to vote unless you make the effort to go and get a ballot. And so if you just assume it's going to happen, it won't happen. And so we're coordinating with the DMV and the Elections Division to ensure that that doesn't happen again. And so wherever we're seeing difficulties, we are trying to clear the way so that things run as smoothly as possible.
Questions? Oh, yeah. Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a comment. I just wanted to say thank you for recognizing the transparency piece and the impeachment. I did introduce that initially and reintroduced it. So we're hopeful that something might happen with that, but I just wanted to thank you for recognizing that and the importance of it.
Madam Chair, Representative Hack, until today, I didn't realize that that had been a bill that you had proposed. So it just seemed like it was something whose time has come. And so I'm not viewing the things that we're doing in a partisan way, but if those areas that are under the purview of the Secretary of State are affected, then one that I think has its time has come.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Thank you, Steve, for coming to visit us, and it sounds like you will be back, as you mentioned some. I know we've got some bills in the hopper around issues that you have mentioned, so I'm sure we will see you again. So thank you very much for your overview. Thank you.
Members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Right, I'm going to close the informational hearing. Are there any announcements? If not, we are adjourned. If not, we are adjourned.